As you know, it's important to me that the supplements I recommend and use are of the highest quality. That's why I stock the Protocol for Life Balance product line at my online dispensary, drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance. Protocol for Life Balance offers a wide range of professional grade products using ingredients backed by strong scientific research, including a suite of supplements that support mood and sleep: L-tryptophan, 5-HTP, GABA, and L-theanine. This collection provides essential amino acids and a serotonin precursor that support relaxation, restful sleep, and the regulation of mood and sleep-wake cycles, and are available in various potencies tailored to your specific needs. For more information and to order, just go to drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance. That's drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance. Protocol for Life Balance is an A-rated GMP manufacturer of premium dietary supplements created for healthcare practitioners. Their formulations are based on the latest advances in nutritional science. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. The subject is stress and how to cope with it. We're going to discuss a great book just out by today's guest, Dr. Donnie Wilson, Master Your Stress, Reset Your Health, the personalized program to calm anxiety, boost energy, and beat burnout. And the book is newly published or about to be published next month. You can pre-order it at Dr. Donnie Wilson. I'm sorry, Dr. Donnie, spell out Dr, D-O-N-I, .com. And so, Donnie, one of the innovations in the book, and I really enjoyed reading that part, is how you divide people into five different types according to their stress response. So I know there's a lot of detail there, and you got to read the book to capture the essence of that, but can you give us an overview of the different types?
Definitely. And I want to point out that it's so important. This is so important for a couple of reasons. One is to recognize that we're unique, right? Of course, we're unique human beings in many ways, but I really want people to know that they're unique even in the way their body responds to stress, because I think that we assume we're all the same, right? We assume we all have a high cortisol. If we ask listeners right now, like, you know, how do you think you're responding to stress? Many people would guess that they have high cortisol because it's something we hear about a lot. And so this is to just really point out that actually our systems are so unique. It's important to know that exactly how your body is responding to stress. And the reason it's so important is because the treatment is different. I can get into that. But in order to successfully recover from something, we need to know how it's affecting you specifically. And instead of, this is one of my problems with the ways that usually the adrenal glands are addressed. You know, if a practitioner is going to address them, they sometimes address them very generally. And so my argument is that's not going to, I mean, that might be a little bit beneficial, but it's very unlikely for a person to fully improve or recover based on a general approach to the adrenal glands. And when we can be way more specific about our approach, the person's more likely to feel better. And so this is why these stress types or categories are so important, is to ensure more positive outcomes to the treatment. And so the different types, the simple way to break it down is to say that there's the one that is both high cortisol, high adrenaline. And here's the thing, is a lot of times when it comes to the adrenals, people only think about cortisol. But I find that it's essential to also take into consideration the adrenaline or norepinephrine and epinephrine, because this is also made by the stress response and the adrenal gland. So we need to know both. We need to know, if there's high cortisol, high adrenaline, that's one of the stress types, what I call the stress magnet. The complete opposite of that is another stress type, which would be low cortisol, low adrenaline, at least at some point during the day. And that's referred to as the blah and blue type.
So, and those people must really feel wiped out, because they don't have any resilience to stress at all. They've sort of lost the capacity to produce these counter-regulatory hormones that address various challenges.
Yeah, and it's not necessarily Addison's disease, right? Like some people, right. It goes all the way to that extreme, but they may just have relatively low cortisol and adrenaline. And you're making a good point. Like, yes, that category of people are more likely to experience fatigue. But interestingly, all of these categories could experience fatigue. So if a person feels more tired or exhausted, they still need to look a little further and say, am I really low cortisol and adrenaline? Or am I one of the other stress types that might also have some fatigue? There's the, what I refer to as the night owl, which is similar to the stress magnet, except most of their cortisol and adrenaline is happening in the evening. So they're more likely to be staying up late or having difficulty with sleep.
Is that a circadian rhythm disturbance, more so than an actual deficiency or excess of those two hormones?
Well, it's a good question. It definitely creates a circadian disturbance, you know, because they, and it's hard to know sometimes what came first. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes this person is saying, hey, I'm up till 2 or 3 in the morning and then I'm sleeping till noon and I can't fix it. I'm stuck. Mm-hmm. In this
pattern. It's a mismatch, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes I joke, like maybe if they would, if they move to a different location in the world, they can match their time zone better. But ultimately, I think even if they went to a different time zone, the same pattern would happen because their body is in this shifted circadian rhythm. And it's when we can help shift the adrenal glands to a healthier circadian rhythm that we can change that pattern where they actually can be. I'm a lot of times in the night owl category, you know, so I've learned like, okay, if I can get my cortisol to go down in the evening, then I can get to sleep earlier and wake up earlier. You know, that's the thing is that it's not just a band-aid, right? It's not just like we want to actually create a shift that can sustain and maintain over time to levels that are associated with better health, right? Like we know that when we have our cortisol levels decrease at night and we can go to bed earlier and sleep when our melatonin is optimal and then wake up in the morning when the sun comes up, that's well established to be associated with improved health, right? Improved brain function, energy, mood, all of that. And so what we're really attempting to create here is a shift toward optimal health, not just, because some people will say, oh, is this just a band-aid, right? No, actually.
It's not like just simply taking a sleeping pill or, you know, something like that. Yeah.
And then the other two stress types are when maybe the cortisol is high and the adrenaline's low, or the cortisol is low and the adrenaline's high. They can be at opposites to each other. And sometimes those are a little bit more challenging to address. So that's why, you know, again, it's important to know if you are in one of those with high cortisol, low adrenaline, for example, that's going to require a very different approach than the others we talked about.
And how do we measure cortisol and adrenaline? Because typically I'll use a saliva test, not just to capture one cortisol, because if we look at cortisol, say, you know, when somebody's in the doctor's office in the middle of the day, it might be very different when they awaken or at night if it interferes with sleep. So you use a saliva test where you do successive tests through the day to chart the progress of the cortisol. And what about adrenaline? Because adrenaline, you know, it changes with circumstances.
I mean, all of these can, you know, I mean, certainly if someone's, you know, say something stressful just happened and they just measure their cortisol and adrenaline in that moment, it's going to be different than their baseline. So what we're not trying to catch that. We're trying to catch what is their cortisol and adrenaline kind of day in, day out, sort of your set point. And that does exist, you know, is what I find by measuring these levels for so many years and so many people, is that I'm looking for what is your cortisol and adrenaline set point at this point in time. It's like a homeostasis, right? It's where the body kind of found itself and stuck. And so, yes, as you pointed out, we want to measure cortisol at different times a day, because normally cortisol is a hormone that changes at different times a day. It should be higher in the morning, and then it should gradually decrease through the day. So we want to measure it when you first wake up, in the middle of the day, in the evening, and at bedtime. And you can measure that in saliva or urine, which is easier than blood draw. I mean, you could also do a blood draw, but now you'd have to get your blood drawn at 4 different times a day. So You can do it at home and just spit in a tube or do a urine sample, and we can see that cortisol curve. We call it a cortisol curve. And then for adrenaline, the norepinephrine, epinephrine can be measured in urine, and we usually measure it in the morning, in the second morning urine. And that is also been researched and well established as a effective way to measure those levels. Mm-hmm. So then we can see where is this person's adrenaline. I tend to shorten it and just say adrenaline. Then we can determine, okay, what's happening here? Where is that this person's body kind of in their homeostatic stress response? And to me, it's what I in the book refer to as stress mode. We find ourselves in stress mode, which is essentially your unique form of burnout. What happened? Did your cortisol get stuck high levels at different times a day? Is it stuck in high adrenaline or the stress types we just described? So once we know what your stress mode looks like, now we can effectively determine the treatment to help you recover from it.
Does the pace of modern life, or some characteristic of modern man as opposed to paleo man, have an impact on these things? Because, clearly we have a natural stress response, and it helps us run from saber-toothed tigers and from, rival tribes. But in modern life, it appears that stress is ubiquitous. And also there's, especially in the current era, we tend to emphasize stimulating things versus relaxing things. There was actually a whole principle during the Victorian era where they tried to reduce stimulation. They actually wanted to put a priority on calm and on relaxation, and to avoid excitatory things. And it was interesting to discover, to look at historically what has happened to the way we approach these issues.
It is really interesting. I agree with you. And just remembering that this has been on the mind of humans, all along. We're aware that that our bodies are going to respond to stress, and what can we do to be proactive about it? And to your point, I definitely think what we've been living through now and the way we approach stress definitely is playing a role. I mean, we just came through, as you mentioned earlier, we just came through this pandemic, and I think it really brought more awareness to the fact that we're exposed to stress. And because before that, I think people were much more likely to dismiss it, kind of think, oh, well, stress is there, I can't do anything about it, let me just keep plowing through, right? And maybe still a common viewpoint of it. But I think through the pandemic, what I'm seeing is that more people are starting to realize, wait a minute, I need to be more proactive about this. I'm exposed to a huge amount of stress, and there's a huge amount of stress in the world. I need to take care of myself and make sure that I'm doing what I can to protect myself from the stress I'm exposed to. And to some degree, yes, we then start to hear things about, oh, can I try to be stress-free? But ultimately, not only is that impossible and would probably cause more stress trying to achieve it, it's not optimal to be stress-free. We need stresses, right? We want to be able to live our passion, which means we're going to be having some stress as parents or as practitioners or running a business. It's like we want a certain amount of stress, this youth stress that's referred to, right? We want some stress. At the same time, there is some stresses we can attempt to reduce in our lives. And so we can by becoming more aware of all of that, and this is what I really hope readers take from the book, is how do I embrace my stress, become more aware of the importance of it, and also the importance of anti-stress. What can we do to help ourselves recover from stress all the time? Not just when you have a vacation, but how do you help yourself recover from stress day in and day out?
Mm-hmm. And you have some very specific prescriptions for that, for each of the stress types in your book. Okay, folks, at this point, let's pause and allow one of our sponsors this opportunity to share a vital message with you. This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by ProPax Gold with NT Factor, a complete vitamin and mineral formula. NT Factor is the only nutritional formula clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause, age, illness, or just being run down. NT Factor repairs damaged cells and restores healthy bacteria in your digestive tract. Clinical trials have shown NT Factor reduces fatigue by almost half, and it even reverses some symptoms of aging. I've been taking NT Factor for years. With a 45-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose. To order, call 800-982-9158, 800-982-9158, or go to ntfactor.com. That's ntfactor.com. Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting our sponsors. They are what make Intelligent Medicine a continuing free resource to you. And now back to today's guest, Dr. Donnie Wilson. Let's talk about the impact of diet on stress. A lot of people think that, well, you know, what does food have to do with stress? I mean, stress is an external thing, you know, our life circumstances, our challenges. How can food have an impact on our stress response?
I love that you're asking this. And I'm certainly, as a nutritionist, you know, you mentioned earlier, you know, when I was in getting my pre-med degree, I became very interested in food as medicine. And I thought, oh my gosh, where's the medical school that teaches me about food as medicine? And that's how I originally found Bastyr University and naturopathic medicine is my desire to use food as medicine. And so definitely I like to bring awareness to this. And to me, one of the first important things to realize is that there's certain food choices that become a stress to our bodies. So if we're trying to minimize our stress exposure, then we want to look at foods that are causing stress to our system. And so think of stress as anything that your body has to physiologically react to, respond to. So even say sugar, for example, when we consume more sugar, it requires more of an insulin response. So our bodies are having to respond and triggers an adaptive or stress response based on, you know, how much sugar we're consuming, for example. So we want to look at what are the ways we're feeding ourselves that are actually creating more stress or triggering more cortisol. And by choosing differently, now we're helping our bodies out by making it so we're not constantly having to create stress responses based on how we're eating and what we're eating.
So a lot of people have written about the impact of hypoglycemia on mental health. Does plummeting blood sugar have an impact on adrenaline and cortisol?
Absolutely. It's one of the places that I really encourage people to start is the blood sugar balancing. Because when our blood sugar fluctuates too high, too low, of course, our bodies is going to trigger a stress response. We're going to have a cortisol response. The cortisol is going to want to protect us from starvation, for example, when our blood sugar goes too low. So when cortisol then gets stimulated, it causes our body to produce its own glucose. Because our body knows, our brain knows it can't run out of glucose, right? So if we are not eating and our blood sugar goes too low, our body is going to jump in and help us out. But if that's happening all the time, like when we're, a lot of times people will say, when I was younger, all I had to do was just like skip some meals or decrease my calories and I could lose weight and I could feel better. But that was just an adaptive stress response over time. Then that's less and less successful, right? Now, if you just try to, you know, skip a few meals, you might not lose weight because now the stress response that has occurred over time is going to,
literally holds fat on your frame. Cortisol, too much cortisol in, say, Cushing's disease, which is a classic excess cortisol disease, people are typically overweight, obese. They, you know, have big bellies and pumps of fat on their behind their necks. So
yeah,
there is something to that, that the excess cortisol interferes with efforts to lose weight.
Yes, it does. And so and I find this, like, by the way, Ron, there's, you know, such a trend now with fasting and intermittent fasting. And of course, like most things when it comes to health, there's a certain amount of it that can be helpful and useful and effective, right? We know that if we take a break from eating overnight, usually especially while we're sleeping, that there's some benefits, right? We give our digestion a break. There's a lot of healing and restoring that happens when we have an overnight fast. But if we push it too far, if we fast for too long for our bodies, right? And it's unique for each person. But at a certain point, a fast is going to trigger cortisol, high cortisol levels, and it's going to counteract the benefits of the fat, the original intention.
Wow.
So, you know, this comes to this concept of hormesis, you know, where hormesis is when we know that if we change things up for our body, whether it's fasting a little longer or changing our diet or exercising more or anything, any
cold
kind
exposure,
of change,
for example, you know, people who plunge into icy waters, you know, to reboot their system.
Right. So we're choosing these activities because we know that if you make a bit of a change to the body's going to adapt. But what we have to keep in mind is that there's limits to hormesis. You need to find for your body, if you make a change, you only want to make as much change as it's going to have a beneficial effect. Because if you make too much of a change, if you go too cold or it could go too cold for too long, it's going to go into a stress response and have negative effects.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing, you know, with if you overexercise, a certain amount of exercise is good, but too much is going to trigger a stress response. And so I think it's an important message because we're so trained in our societies to feel like I'm going to push myself harder, I'm going to do more, I'm going to do it better. You know, we're so willing to stress ourselves. And yet the whole point of this is to recognize that we need to learn better how to not just push ourselves harder and do it better, but how to really listen to our bodies and recognize that we need to choose the right amount for us, this Goldilocks principle, right? Like, how do you find just the right amount, not too much, not too little, just the right amount that you're actually creating a beneficial effect in your body that's going to help you reset from stress? And that's the goal.
So let's talk a little bit about some of the supplements that may be beneficial. Again, emphasizing that there's no one size fits all. I mean, we see, you know, you can go on the internet and you can find this adrenal support and that cortisol support and, you know, various types of supplements that have, you know, some of the right ingredients that may or may not be a match for your type of stress response. But what are some of those agents that are plausible agents?
Mm-hmm. We often hear about them as adaptogens, and certainly, you know, sometimes maybe listeners, you know, you've been told, oh, you need to pay attention to your adrenals, and so you just go to the store and pick out the product that says adrenals on it or something to do with cortisol, and you're guessing you're hoping these ingredients are the right ingredients. Now, to some degree, with adaptogenic herbs, the idea is that they have some ability to just bring our bodies back to balance. So if you have a very slight elevation in cortisol or a little bit low cortisol, they're going to help bring it back to optimal. But in actuality, and this is, of course, from a clinical experience, so I'm usually dealing with patients who have more extreme symptoms, right? More extreme fatigue or anxiety or depression or sleep issues. So now just using a general adaptogenic formula is not going to do the trick. They're going to, you know, it's not unlikely to be very beneficial. So what I do is I look into the research and I find, okay, which herbs and nutrients are really best at lowering cortisol that's too high versus the herbs and nutrients that are better at raising cortisol when it's too low. And so this is, yes, in the book, I write this out very much in detail because I so strongly believe that I want people to choose the right product. So if you have cortisol that's too high, you're going to want to choose herbs like magnolia root and banaba leaf and ashwagandha, because those have more research to show that they help bring down the cortisol that's too high. They're helping to reset that HPA axis to more optimal cortisol levels. Whereas if you have a low cortisol, you're going to want to reach more for herbs that help the adrenals make more cortisol, like glycyrrhiza or licorice and Eleutherococcus, which is also known as Siberian ginseng and rhodiola, for example, right? These are the herbs that are going to help the adrenals do a better job.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, when it comes to some of the more conventional vitamins and minerals, are there mm-hmm. Things like magnesium or certain B vitamins that can help in this regard?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, we know that most all of us are deficient in magnesium and likely B vitamins too, because when we're under stress, our bodies use more magnesium and B vitamins, because those are all used for making adrenaline and breaking down adrenaline and so on. So it makes sense that we would get depleted in these nutrients. And so those are some of the important ones to start with as well. My favorite is magnesium, because magnesium also helps metabolize adrenaline. So if a person has too high adrenaline, magnesium is going to be their best friend, especially magnesium threonate, for example, to help metabolize the adrenaline. So great.
Yeah. In the book, you also talk, you emphasize the importance of good therapy, because, you know, all too often, these days, it's pretty expensive to go to a therapist. It's not covered by insurance, and it's much easier to get a prescription for a pill. That'll be covered by your drug plan. But therapy may be underutilized in dealing with stress and anxiety these days.
Absolutely. There's a whole chapter on what I call recovery activities. And therapy is definitely in there, along with just creating, you know, space for ourselves, creating time to take a break, have some quiet, and use different recovery activities for yourself, like meditation or biofeedback or deep breathing, listening to music. But therapy definitely can be hugely helpful. And of course, there's many different kinds of therapy, and finding the right therapist for you. But the research really shows that being able to express ourselves and communicate about what we've experienced, right, that the stresses we've been exposed to, helps us to process in that mental emotional place. I also in the book cover the spiritual realm, because ultimately we're all of those things, right? We're the physical, we're the mental emotional, and the spiritual, and stress affects us on all of those levels, so we need to address all of those levels.
Indeed. And finally, in the context of what we've all been through, COVID, are you seeing patients with what's termed long COVID or post-COVID who respond to this paradigm? Is there something about our body's stress response that goes haywire after COVID?
Definitely. Absolutely. I definitely am working with many patients throughout the pandemic to help them through COVID and now after. And it definitely, like any infection, you know, like any viral infection, it asks a lot of our adrenal glands, right? It also is a reason that we have a stress response. An infection is going to trigger cortisol and adrenaline. And plus, with COVID, there was so much anxiety about getting this particular virus, so it was amplified. You know, it's not just the virus, but now you have this virus that has so much attention on it. And so I've definitely seen that this adrenal stress recovery protocol is so key for anyone recovering from COVID, especially if you're still noticing symptoms. You know, if you're noticing, hey, I don't feel quite the same since I had COVID, then this is exactly where I would encourage you to look to help your body recover.
Okay. Well, we covered a lot of ground in this interview, but we're only scratching the surface of the very detailed advice that you provide in the book. And it's a really wonderful self-help almanac to resetting your proper stress response. The book is Master Your Stress, Reset Your Health, The Personalized Program to Calm Anxiety, Boost Energy, and Beat Burnout. And it's such a good book that I really recommend it to a lot of the health professionals who listen to this program, because I think we could all learn about a little more nuanced approach than we usually employ when we pay lip service to, okay, it's an adrenal problem and, you know, let's give some adaptogens. I think we need to be a little more precise and discerning about how we apply our therapies. And, you know, in your book, you emphasize the different subtypes of stress maladaptation. And I think that's a really good guide for practitioners and patients alike. So congratulations to you.
Oh, thank you. I mean, it's really been my life work. And so I feel just so proud and happy to be having it into this format of a book where others can benefit from it.
Indeed. The book is brand new. It is about to be published in May, but you can pre-order from the usual sources, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, as well as the website, Dr. spelled out, Donnie, D-O-N-I.com. And by the way, what other resources can people access at your website?
There's blog posts. There's the my podcast, How Humans Heal. And also there's a 7-day stress reset. So those who pre-order the book, please come to the website and let me know you've pre-ordered it so that I can have you join in my live 7-day stress reset in the first week of May. I would love to have all of you join me for that. Because again, my goal is to really help people access and utilize the information in this book so you can get the most out of it.
It's very empowering. And for those of our listeners who are not in the Northeast, you practice on Long Island, but do you also see patients sometimes via telemedicine?
Actually, mostly. Now I see patients by telemedicine or, you know, phone and video around the world, because when it comes to this, what we're talking about here, it can be done. It doesn't need to be in person. We can... I can help patients with stress recovery from wherever they are.
And utilize group sessions to amplify your impact. Great stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Dr. Donnie. It's a pleasure having you back on Intelligent Medicine. And I wish you all the success with your new book, because you're getting the word out about a very, very important subject.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much for having me and for sharing this to your audience. I really appreciate it.
My great pleasure. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
I want to thank you for listening to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or your favorite podcast app, and get new episodes automatically downloaded every weekday. And please give us a rating and review. It truly helps new people discover Intelligent Medicine. The Intelligent Medicine Podcast is for general informational purposes only and does not constitute the practice of medicine, nursing, or other professional healthcare services, including the giving of medical advice, and no doctor-patient relationship is formed. The use of information on this podcast or materials linked from this podcast is the user's own risk. The content of this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Users should not disregard or delay in obtaining medical advice for any medical condition they may have and should seek the assistance of their health care professionals for any such conditions. Finally, please visit drhoffman.com and discover everything Intelligent Medicine has to offer, including frequently updated, unbiased health news and fully vetted product and supplement recommendations. You know how important it is to ensure that your supplements are genuine, safe, and effective. That's why I partnered with Fullscript, an online dispensing platform that only offers curated professional-grade brands that I know and trust, the very same supplements that I prescribe to my patients and take myself. Never counterfeit or expired, always stored and shipped correctly. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com to start your free Fullscript account. Buying through Fullscript offers fast shipping, optional refill reminders, a mobile-friendly site. It's safe, secure, and HIPAA-compliant and offers world-class support. Fullscript also gives you access to my custom targeted supplement protocols that combine the products that I recommend to address specific needs, heart health, immune support, and much more. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com to sign up for your free Fullscript account. You'll get access to the supplements and features you need to help you achieve your wellness goals. That's drhoffmanstore.com. drhoffmanstore.com.